Title of our thoughts tonight are Uncharted Territory. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 6, if you would, please. From Ken Ham, Answers in Genesis, quote, "Do you feel like you're living in uncharted territory? Some people are right down fearful. Others are panicking. Some think the world is coming to an end. But Ken Ham says, but I'm a Christian. What does that mean in times like these? Should I panic or be fearful?" Unquote. We will get to his answer to his question in a moment. It is easy to be fearful. For some, finances will be stretched to the limit. For others, they wonder if they'll still have a job when the virus runs its course. Some, unfortunately, may even come in contact with the virus and will become sick. Let me read to you from the book of Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. And it says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much more better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all, these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth what ye have need of, all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient also unto the day is the evil thereof." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here together around the Word of God. Lord, we pray for the peace and comfort of your people. And Lord, may during this time we draw even closer to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. The question has been asked, what are the benefits of being quarantined? Well, how about quality family time? My wife likes that because I've been doing most of the cooking. Clean out that closet. You know what closet I'm talking about. Home improvement projects. Read a book. Finish your taxes. Make you appreciate rush hour traffic. Learn a new recipe. Take walks. Have you noticed how many people are out walking their dog or just walking with other couples? Of course, when you meet them on the sidewalk, they want to stay 6 foot away. But now getting back to our thoughts and our lesson, Ken Ham's answer to his question, yes, we are living in uncharted territory, and it would be easy to complain. Much like the children of Israel did when they were caught up between the Red Sea before them and the armies of the Egyptians coming up after them. From a human perspective, right now it could be scary. But I would encourage you, Ken Ham says, to do what our Lord shares with us in his word. That it is in the difficult times that our Lord's blessings and nearness are best seen and felt. unquote. Proverbs 16:9 says, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." You know, you shouldn't doubt in the dark what you don't fear in the light. And may I say this, if you trust the Lord in the good times, during the difficult times, you need to make sure you trust him also. "For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Many have said that this is a wake-up call, that we as a nation need to stop justifying sinful behavior. We as a nation need to confess our sins and repent. This is not the first time that our nation has needed to turn from its sinful ways and get right with God. Our churches need to get back to proclaiming the Word of God. From the preacher Solomon, and we find this in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun?" Then verse 9, "The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun." Though this particular virus is new to us, viruses are not new. "For there is nothing new under the sun." And may I say this, this did not catch our Lord unawares. He knew what was coming. May I say this, when this virus has run its course, another one is just around the corner. And that's not for you to become fearful. But if you think about the different ones we've had in the last decade, we know that they come and then they go. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And following the first 6 days of the creation week, our God saw what he had made, and behold, it was very good. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. As I've said in recent funerals, what happened between Genesis 1:31, when God saw all that he had created, and it was very good, and today, with sickness and ailments, illness, disease, pain, and death? Well, if you attend a gospel preaching church, you know that the answer can be found in one three-letter word, sin. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." Henry Morris, founder of Institute for Creation Research, has passed away a decade or so ago, and he's the author of many creation-based books, said this, quote, "Those of us who still believe that the Bible is the inerrant word of God, or free from error and infallible, and that God intended it to be understood by ordinary people, have been labeled young earth creationists," unquote. May I say this, the difference between the creationist and the evolutionist is their worldview. And may I say, Judy, I was reading an article that states that turtles have always been turtles. This is quite a puzzle and a conundrum to the evolutionist. They see nothing that once was a turtle, and they see nothing that the turtle has become. And so the evolutionist is always wondering, how do we fit things in? There are two choices about the universe and our planet. One either believes that a divine God created the universe, or that they believe by chance there was this ball of energy, and this ball of energy exploded some 15 billion years ago. Then by chance, a rock was caught in the gravitational pull of a star. where for some reason water had been formed. Then by chance, lightning struck this pool of water, creating life by chance some 4.5 billion years ago. And from those molecules, man evolved. But Paul said to his student Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings, and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. If you believe in evolution, you have to believe that before man that there was death and disease long before he was created. But the Bible tells us that death came because of sin. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But due to our Lord's unspeakable gift, and are we not glad for his mercy and grace, we can have eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I could not help but noticing that our neighbors across the street must have been going to some party. And of course, today you get as many people into one car so that people driving by won't see 10 cars at somebody's house. But what I saw was a gift in a bag. And may I say this, if you're going to a birthday party, you're probably going to take a gift. And for those who have an anniversary or birthday during this time, you expect a gift. But what is the greatest gift ever given? Well, we know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It was a gift. And may I say this, our Lord knows the future. From that, we can have, shall I say, comfort and peace of mind. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Romans 5:19. Because of the disobedience of Adam. But don't be too hard on him. I've often wondered, what if it had been us? Would we have done the very same thing? Well, the fact of the matter is we're all sinners, and most likely we'd have done the very same thing. Would you please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Philippians chapter 2, and we'll begin reading at verse 8. Philippians chapter 2. And I'll wait a minute for you to turn there. One of the things about speaking this way is I usually can hear the pages turning, and when they stop turning, I know it's time to read. So I presume the pages have stopped turning, and I'm going to read for you. And it says in Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. As we do know, one out of one dies. It's because of sin. Now, I'm not going to say that this is the sin of someone in particular that this particular disease has come our way. But we know because of sin, there is disease and there are issues. But take your Bibles and quickly turn to Romans 8:28. And I'm going to ask us to do something, you that are watching tonight. And thank you again for taking time to come and to be here at our house and to watch this particular video. But I would ask that all of us read Romans 8:28 out loud together. As one told me today, as I was talking to a pastor in Ashtabula, Ohio, Brother Larry Emery, he talked about the fact that the Lord knows, and that during this difficult time, we can be assured he is with us. But are you ready? Romans 8:28. Let us read this together. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We know that all things work together, and it will be, I think, in 2 or 3 months or a year from now, we'll look back at this and we'll see that truly it worked together for the glory of the Lord. May I say this? It has brought people closer to him. It's made people pray. It's made people be concerned. And I think that's a good thing. I do hope that none of us will be affected personally by the virus. And I must admit, I look forward to our getting back to church together as a group. And maybe we'll have more people want to come because they'll say, wow, I missed church. But we can be assured that all of this is working to the good. It says there, who are the called according to his purpose. Shall we close in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for the Word of God. And Lord, as we go through difficult times, uncharted territory, Lord, we know that you are there, that you are our guide, that you are our strength, our tower, our buckler. And Lord, you hide us in your pavilion. Lord, we ask that your will would be done. And we ask this again, Lord, in your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.